Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! Oh, and the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on earth is gone, and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down, and my critics can kiss my
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana, what I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
And hello, welcome in, Wednesday edition of the show. We have some defections from the IU basketball program. No surprises. We got three of them to date. They started to roll in yesterday afternoon once we completed our Tuesday show. But CJ Gunn, Caleb Banks, and Peyton Sparks all announced that they will enter the portal. And it will be interesting to see where they head next. If you're an Indiana fan, and as I look down the roster, no real surprise that either of those players, any of the three, is leaving. C.J. Gunn got some opportunities this year. At times looked promising. At other times looked a little bit above his head. I could be totally wrong here. I think he's a mid-major level player that will probably have a chance to make the NCAA tournament and have a really good career at the mid-major level of college basketball. Caleb Banks is probably the biggest disappointment of the three. Not that he did anything wrong. We just really didn't get an opportunity to see him for various reasons, starting with injuries. I always thought in high school, I never saw him in person, but he looked awful athletic and awful intriguing as a prospect coming into Indiana. And remember, he had some issues his senior year to finish out high school, which carried over to the summer and the start of his freshman season at Indiana, and never really got opportunities from there. So he's the one of the three that you kind of wonder what if, or, you know, could he go somewhere else and stay healthy and be really good? Don't know. There's a lot of unknown about him, but he's the only one you might wonder about, I think, a little bit if you're an Indiana fan. Peyton Sparks from Ball State. I loved the pickup last spring from the transfer portal. In-state guy from Winchester, had an outstanding high school basketball career in our state, had a good start at Ball State. His dream was to play for the state university for Indiana. So those kind of kids in-state, you know, you want them if it makes sense at all, even if it's close. And Indiana had to take a chance at him, and he just never really materialized. He got some opportunities, but just never materialized, never looked like a high major player, despite his big, tough frame, if you look at him, that you would think, man, that's a Big Ten type player. So Banks is the only one that I think really intrigued with to wonder what his next stop looks like and what he could be as a player. But three additional openings, and if my math is right, Indiana now has six scholarships openings at this time for next season. Of course, Kelo Ware could be an addition to that number. Xavier Johnson, Anthony Walker, those guys already out as well. So because of graduation. So we'll see what happens next and where Indiana turns. We'll get into some of the names that Indiana has reached out to. It's not even fun right now to really look at closely because Indiana has reached out to so many of the big name guys in the portal and a lot of the really good mid-major guys that might be ready for a step up, guys from just a conference a step or two below the Big Ten and some of the other Power Five type conferences. Are they ready for a chance? And then there's some high major guys as well that Indiana has discussed or had some discussions with reportedly. So there are just so many names and these guys are listing so many different schools that it's hard to know where this stuff goes over the next few days. So we'll talk more about that today. NCAA tournament last night. Man, Virginia was ugly to watch play. I didn't see them really this season. I maybe saw a little bit of the Virginia-Louisville game at one point earlier in the year, but all that I had heard about them since the bracket was announced was they play so slow and they're not fun to watch and they're boring, and this could have been Indiana State or it could have been St. John's in this same seed line, watching them play the first four at Dayton. And obviously it was a boring game. Colorado State put it to them slowly and very methodically and eventually pulled away. The first game between Wagner and Howard, it was good. It was fun. It had that tournament feel and some back and forth moments to it. But yeah, that second game last night was a real sleeper. We get two more first four games tonight. What NCAA women's tournament is today as well. That's going to be fun. So basically a day full of hoops. And then tomorrow is the full deal with obviously games from about 11:30 a.m. or noon on. And going to be fun. Going to give you some picks today, too, in the next segment with Justin Kalen. So stay with us for that. Let's look at the show lineup for today. A service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany, segment one here in just a moment. Our Hoosier headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news. We're going to talk a little bit about a podcast I was on Monday night I want to share with you. The Indiana Basketball Hall of Fame inductions, the ceremony is today, and so we'll mention that and some of the connections there. Also, want to go through the state finals. We had Brownstown coach Benner on yesterday. We're going to have Scottsburg's coach Eric Richardson on with us tomorrow. And just kind of get a feel for the somewhat local teams. We're so proud of Southern Indiana teams that make it to Indianapolis. We'll see if those two can go win a state title. And I think I'll go through my thoughts here in a minute. I think that they both can. So we'll talk at the state. We'll look at the state finals here in just a moment. Also, I want to mention something that's kind of went viral on the on social media about New Albany eighth grader Noah Washington, who's finishing up the school year at Scribner. And there's a big question on where does he go next year to start his high school career? Does he remain in the Bulldogs program and take that next step to the high school level? I think that's what he'll do. You never know. But we'll talk about him in this video clip that went viral coming up in just a few minutes as well. Later today, Dustin Dopierak is traveling again. Man, it's hard to get our favorite NBA beat writer with us on Wednesdays these days, but he's on an airplane. And so Justin Kalen will join me. But it's all good because Justin, the producer of this show and so much more here at the Big X, we're going to go through the bracket and give some picks. And I'm going to actually, I've never, for years, I've not really filled out a bracket, but I'm going to do it this year, and I'm going to keep up with it this year, and I'm going to talk about it this year and see just how bad my picks are. And I've got to pull it up here. I had Virginia winning the game against Colorado State, so I'm sure, Justin, that your bracket already is going to look better than I am. I could scratch it out and lie to you, but I'm a pretty honest guy, man.
Well, they're not going to win the next game anyway, so either way, it's only one loss. You're fine.
True. It might come down nip and tuck, though. We'll have to see who we've got in the Final Four and Elite Eight coming up. So we'll go through that here in just a minute. But all right, later in the show, we're going to be joined by Josh Cook, sports editor of the News and Tribune. And that's the lineup today, a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Check them out today. They've got great lunches, sandwiches, salads, soups that are made fresh daily and will surely satisfy any craving you have. You might even find something else to take home as they have a variety of dinner packages. Give Honey Baked Ham in New Albany a try. I think you'll be glad that you did. Thornton's text line is open, 502-414-1450. Again, 502-414-1450. Love to hear from you. Love to know your picks. What game are you looking forward to most on Thursday or Friday? Do you get in any kind of bracket contest or these boards that are out there? I actually filled out a bracket on paper. I think I'm going to do the March Madness app and put this same bracket into there as well, just to keep up with it on the phone. And then I got in some kind of board thing this year, so I'm excited to have a couple ways to maybe keep up with the tournament a little bit closer, I guess, with no locals in it, which was always a fun thing to watch. Indiana, Louisville, Kentucky, Purdue. We're down to two of those with Kentucky and Purdue, and I have both of those guys going a fairly long ways, including UK to the national championship game. So there you go. People will, I'm sure, like that prediction. But we'll talk about that later. So without local teams, or at least two of them, got to do something to stay a little bit more in tune with the tournament. It's a great time if you're a basketball hoop head like myself. And so we'll talk about that. But I'd love to know what you do for the tournament. Any rituals, traditions, bracket contest? Does your office have something? What do you do? 502-414-1450. All fountain drinks and fizz freeze drinks at Thornton's are 89 cents at all area Thornton's locations. Enjoy your favorite fountain drink of any size or a cold, delicious fizz freeze for just 89 cents. So our Thornton's text line is open and ready for your messages at 502-414-1450. Again, 502-414-1450. 1450. All right, Gunn and Banks and Sparks are out. Who potentially could be in for the Hoosiers? Inside the Hall has put together a list of players that are at least listing Indiana as one of the schools that they have heard from so far. Keep in mind the portal to undergrads opened up officially like at 8 a.m. on Monday, I believe, and so it's been madness since then. I saw yesterday like 800 and something women's college basketball players entered the portal, just setting a record day for the women's portal. And the men's portal is obviously rocking as well. So it's almost just too much to keep up with at this early point. When it comes to visits and maybe Zoom conversations, or you know, there's some serious connection between the schools, that's when we find out exactly who Indiana really is targeting and who likes them back and who really they have a chance to get. But for now, this list from Inside the Hall, Clark Slagert. He is from Penn, which is a mid-major school, a 6'1" guard. He averaged 18 points a game this past season and shot 42.2% from three-point range. Clark Slagert, if I'm saying it right, he was the first name from Indiana, attached to Indiana out of the portal this year. Marcus Foster, another mid-major from Furman, 6'4" guard, averaged 17 points, 7.5 rebounds, shot 29.7% from threes, and 81.3% from the free throw line. If you can't tell, I've got all these stats in front of me, but I'm going to focus in on their three-point shooting and their free throw shooting as well, because those obviously are major issues for Indiana and continue to be. Michael Ajayi, I think, I don't know, from Pepperdine, 6'4" forward, 17.2 points, and just under 10 rebounds per game, shot 47% on threes and 71% from the free throw line. Trey Dinkins, I know there's been some multiple stories on him. Trey Dinkins is from Canisius, I believe I said that right, a 6'2" guard, 15.4 point average this past season, shot 36.5% from three-point range and 78.6% from the free throw line. Amari Williams, he's from Drexler, a 6'10" center who averaged 12.2 points and 7.8 rebounds this past season. And Dakota Lefeu of Mount St. Mary's, a 6'5" guard who averaged 17.6 points. Frankie Fiddler from Nebraska Omaha, a 6'7" forward. I like that name, Frankie Fiddler, 20.1 point average for the Nebraska native. Javon Small, that's a name I recognize out of Oklahoma State, 6'3" guard. He averaged 15 points and 5 rebounds and 4 assists per game, and shot 37.4% from three-point range. And Small is actually from South Bend, Indiana, so there's maybe a double connection there to him for the Hoosiers. Cannon Carlisle, I believe is how you say it, from Stanford. I just vaguely remember him. He's a 6'3" guard, average 11.5 points a game. Jacoby Gillespie from Belmont, 6'1" guard, average 17.2 points and 4.2 assists and 3.8 rebounds per game, and shot 38.7% from three-point range. Those are some of the names. There are other names out there, but those are some of the names that have been gathered up by InsideTheHall.com, our friend Alex Bozich, that Indiana has at least reached out to for recruiting purposes here in the offseason. One other great feature on Inside the Hall is a list of Big Ten players across the conference that have hit the transfer portal. This, of course, includes Oregon, UCLA, USC, and Washington, the new guys coming into the Big Ten Conference here this offseason. There were, 2, 4, 6 yesterday from Big Ten Conference teams for next season, including Gunn, Banks, and Sparks. So Indiana had 3 of the 6 players yesterday. Michigan had 2 in Terrace Reed and Yusef Kayat. One from USC, a guy I don't even know who it is. Of course, we will next season. We'll know those USC guys more when they get in the conference. The first day of the portal, 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12. So what, a total of 20 players from the Big Ten Conference, scholarship players from the Big Ten Conference have hit the portal so far. The first day, Doug McDaniel from Michigan, obviously the big name probably entering the portal that I think most people know the most. Noah Batchelor from Maryland, another name. Maryland had a couple guys. Michigan had a couple guys. Penn State had 3 guys enter the portal. Rutgers 3 as well. Those were some of the more recognizable names from the first day, but that's where things stand. in the transfer portal. State finals, it's not this weekend. I keep wanting to say it's this Saturday, but because of all the NCAA stuff in Indianapolis, there's a week delay, which I hate. You heard Dave Benner say to help his team get healthy, get a little rest. He is all for the break that, that exists this year. But looking ahead, we'll talk more about this stuff in the coming week or so as we get closer. But let's start at 4A. It's Fishers and Ben Davis. Fishers is number one in the state at 28-1 record. Of course, just saw Ben Davis play two games on Saturday at Newcastle. I know a lot of people think it's Fishers for sure. I would agree with that. I would make Fishers my 4A pick. But Ben Davis is good, and Mark Zachary, really good. And he's got, obviously, KJ Windham and a lot of guys to go around him. But I think Fishers wins. I think that game is probably closer than what a lot of people think. 3A game, Scottsburg 24-5 against South Bend St. Joseph, who is 20-9. From everything I can hear and read and find on St. Joe and talking to some friends in South Bend, Scottsburg is the favorite in that game. The Warriors have a great opportunity on Saturday, a week from this Saturday evening, to win the 3A state championship. Going down to 2A, Brownstown Central 27-4 against Wapahani 26-2. Wapahani the better record, Brownstown the better team. Wapahani seems like just a really solid high school basketball team. Brownstown, obviously, I think, is above that level with Jack Benner and some of their other really good shooters. They are going to be tough for somebody to knock out on Saturday, for Wapahani to knock out on Saturday. I think Scottsburg and Brownstown both are the favorite. We have an opportunity for two reasonably close state champions. And how neat would that be? Scottsburg and Brownstown, both members of the Mid-Southern Conference, and I think both can win state titles on Saturday. What a statement across the state and Southern Indiana that would be for the Mid-Southern Conference to see two teams in the same year capture state championships. Down in 1A, that's probably, to me, the worst game, at least on paper, of the day. Bethesda Christian has been rolling in the postseason. They absolutely pounded Bar Reeve on Saturday night in the semi-state championship game. Bethesda is 23-7. Fort Wayne Canterbury, their opponent from up north, 18-9. I think that Bethesda Christian is the big favorite there. So if you count them up, Bethesda Christian is the south team. They come out of the south side of the bracket. I think they win. Brownstown, obviously, the south side of the 2A bracket. I think they win. Scottsburg, obviously, the south side from 3A. I think they win. And Fishers is the north, came out of the north side of the bracket. Ben Davis, even though right there in the middle of the state, they came out of the south side. I think the south, southern half of Indiana can win three of the four games in Indianapolis a week from Saturday in the state championship games. Hall of Fame induction tonight. It's a wonderful event if you've never been. It's an opportunity just to be around so many important people to our game and see great people be recognized for their accomplishments. And one of those people, don't forget, is Jim Morris, former IU Southeast athletic director and coach, who is a basketball legend here in Southern Indiana. I know I shared a story from his son Steve on the show last week, and of course he will be honored today as a member of the Indiana Basketball Hall of Fame. We miss Coach Morris, but glad his family can be there to celebrate this unbelievable accomplishment for a guy that was just not only super in sports, but just a great basketball person as well. And so Jim Morris into the Indiana Basketball Hall of Fame officially later today, and that is outstanding for he and his family and really for IU Southeast and all of Southern Indiana. Noah Washington, eighth grader at Scribner Middle School in New Albany. We had a rash of discussion about him back during the middle school season because the Scribner was getting some big crowds at games, and people want to know where he's going to go to high school. I don't know where he's going to go. I assume he will go to New Albany. I can't see a reason locally at this time he wouldn't go to New Albany. I know that there's the Louisville schools have been showing up at, or were showing up at some of the middle school games trying to, I guess you'd say, recruit him. But New Albany, a great program, great facilities, lots of young talent moving into the program. Really, I think, overachieved this past season with some of the talent that they have. Chris Lampkins is coming back next year. So I think that New Albany and Jeff, if it all plays out, will be two really good 4A programs locally. And who wouldn't want to be part of that? So I think he'll go to New Albany. That's obviously a decision he and his family will make and let people know when they're ready to do so. The question I said is, does he stay at New Albany? It's a new world. It's even changed since Romeo Langford was at New Albany. So many of these top-level players, even in Indiana where there's great crowds and there's Mr. Basketball, there's a lot of tradition, and it really means something to win a state championship or at least play in the state tournament and try to be an all-star and all that kind of stuff. Some of them are still spurning all that after a couple years. Maybe they experience it as a freshman and sophomore. Then they go to what I call a national-level high school program, like LaPorte La Lemire is the closest probably to us that's a really legitimate program. And then you've got Montverde Academy down in Florida, which Indiana fans know all too well right now because of Liam McNeely and some other connections that Indiana has been able to get from there. So who knows what happens, but we'll see if New Albany is at least his initial landing spot. The reason we're talking about Noah Washington is, number one, he's a really good player with a lot of talent, and he is on track right now to have an outstanding high school career and be a very, very legitimate college prospect. That's about as much as I feel comfortable saying about an eighth grade player right now. But he also, we're talking about him because there's a video that got put out, I guess at Scribner, heading into spring break. They had like a staff student game. Some of the girls and boys basketball players from their teams played against the teachers. And I think it was staged, at least that's what I was told, but Noah goes up and dunks on one of his teachers who also was a big guy. And so this clip is on overtime. It's made it to some of the national social media outlets that promote basketball highlights and things like that. And it's just amazing the interest in Noah and in these kind of things these days with social media and how trends and viral things happen. But Noah Washington has definitely went viral over the last couple days. There's no question about that with this video. And keep in mind, with the high school season over for most of our local teams, we're hard at work working on summer league basketball. New Albany will participate and host in that. We'll have great games between Southern Indiana and Louisville schools. And so there's very likely a good chance you'll see Noah suiting up here for his high school team, probably varsity team, I would think, in the next few months when we get into June. So there's a lot of buzz about him. Romeo Langford-esque buzz for sure. He's a really good player and going to be fun to watch. And it will be really, really interesting to see him transition from an outstanding middle school player who really can't be guarded or challenged at all to a freshman high school player at the 4A level that's really going to get people coming at him. And that's when I think he can show us what he can really do. So, but yes, Noah Washington is trending. And I retweeted the video if you want to see it on my Twitter account. But it's definitely something to see. And it's definitely caught the attention of other people, that's for sure. One final note here in this opening segment I want to mention. Monday night, I had a chance to go on a podcast up in South Bend with two great friends, two wonderful basketball people in Northern Indiana. Pat King, who for years was a coach at South Bend Adams and other places in South Bend. Pat actually came down to Madison for three seasons or so. And then also Ron Heklinski, a former Anderson coach. He had some outstanding Anderson teams. He also coached at Mishawaka Marion before recently retiring. Coach Heck and Coach King are just great basketball guys in our state. They have a wonderful podcast on Monday nights. They do it from one of the establishments in South Bend. And I joined to talk and promote Southern Indiana basketball. We talked a lot about Sharon Wilkerson and Jeffersonville and their great run to the semi-state. We talked about Scottsburg and Brownstown going on to the state finals. We talked a lot about former New Albany coach Jim Shannon, who those guys know well from the Anderson connection there. But it was a lot of fun, and we just covered a lot of ground. And sometimes it's nice to be the guy on the other side that is answering some questions or having some fun and not always the one that's got to come up with what we talk about or what questions we're going to ask today. So if you're interested in hearing that, I want to make sure we promote their podcast. They have great guests on. It's more of a Northern Indiana tent, but I think if you're a real basketball fan, you'll enjoy it. So it's called Coach's Corner with Heck and King. I retweeted the link to the YouTube video of our podcast, but it was a lot of fun to catch up with those guys. And this time of year, I'm just reminded how special our state is. The high school tournament is rolling. I was out at Newcastle seeing so many old friends and other contacts across the state. Just what a great basketball place we're in. And it's so fun to get a chance to catch up, whether it's on a podcast or a radio show, or whether it's in a restaurant or over a beer or whatever it may be, with guys like Coach King and Coach Heklinski. So if you have any interest in hearing about some of those topics, check it out, Coach's Corner with Heck and King, and I retweeted that as well on Twitter. Thornton's text line is open, 502-414-1450. Again, 502-414-1450. Texter says, does anyone know why newly named Miss Basketball from Bedford, her name is Chloe Spreen, by the way, why she was shunned by Terry Moore and the Hoosiers only 20 miles away from Bedford, and she committed to Alabama? I don't know. I followed her recruitment in the final stages to see where she was going to go, and Indiana wasn't one of those schools that she had listed. I'm assuming that Indiana was involved with her at some point, and maybe she did not want to go there, but again, I'm assuming that. I have no idea. I've got to believe that she obviously is Miss Basketball and is an Alabama player at a high major level of women's college basketball. I've got to believe that she's good enough to play at Indiana. I'm assuming they recruited her, but I'll have to check into that. I do not know. Also, Kevin says, is Eric Richardson, the Scottsburg coach, the same person who played at New Albany before? No, I do not believe that Eric Richardson is the same person. Coach Richardson that's at Scottsburg played at Hanover with Coach John Miller there. And, of course, now he coaches Coach Miller's son as one of his Scottsburg players. So no connection to the Eric Richardson, Kevin, that you were thinking of. But thank you for the text. And we'd love to hear from you, 502-414-1450. Again, 502-414-1450. No Dustin Dopierak today. So when we come back, Justin, Kalen, and I are going to act like the experts on TV and give you our NCAA tournament picks. And then we'll see who the biggest idiot is between Justin and I, and I will nominate my bracket each and every year to be the worst. So we'll see how it goes, but I want to put my picks out there this year. And I'd love to hear your picks as well, your final four, whatever you want to share, 502-414-1450, and we'll head to a commercial break and be back with more. Our NCAA picks coming up after this here on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
You know, a basketball hero around here is treated like a god.
Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
You know, most people would kill to be treated like a god just for a few moments.
Here's Matt Dennison.
We're back on this Wednesday edition of the show. Thornton's text line, 502-414-1450. Again, 502-414-1450. Couple text over the commercial break that might have something to do with Chloe Spreen, Miss Basketball, not going to Indiana. I'd forgotten that Coach Allen's daughter from Bedford, she went to Bloomington and did not play much, and then transferred out of the program. So maybe that was a sour taste for Bedford. Maybe there were other things. Maybe there weren't. But that is something that did jog my memory when I got that message to me by a couple people. So thank you for sharing some insight there. Also, another text, shout out to Tucker Bivin for picking up his first college pitching win at U of L yesterday. Yes, that's a great text. Thanks for sharing that. Tucker with a win over Bellarmine as a sophomore for U of L. Congratulations to Tuck on a big effort yesterday. We hope that he has a really good sophomore season for Coach McDonald and the Cardinals coming up this year. Justin, Kalen with me now, and for the sake of time, we're going to go through our Sweet 16 picks and go forward. Now, Justin, when we get done with this segment, actually, as you say this, I want you to send me a picture. I don't want any opportunity for you to scratch something out and change or whatever, because I need all the help I can get for you not to blow me out of the water here with our picks. But let's go through our Sweet 16 picks, and I will start us off in the East region. Coming out of those first couple brackets, I've got Connecticut, Auburn, Illinois, and Iowa State. That's my four. What do you got?
Ooh, so we are very similar here. I also have UConn and Auburn, and I'm also going to roll with Illinois. But I think Drake gets Iowa State in the second round. So Drake is my fourth Sweet 16 team.
I've got Drake beating 7-seed Washington State, but I've got Iowa State beating them. And this is a heavy – I've got lots of favorites on this bracket. I don't like it, but I don't know. I couldn't pull the trigger on some of these other teams. Moving to the West, my Sweet 16 teams, UNC against Alabama and Baylor against New Mexico – or excuse me, against Arizona.
What did I have? I'm trying to think because I filled my bracket out yesterday, so I'm trying to go off what I had on that. I unfortunately don't have it with me. I know I've got Arizona coming out of the bottom. I've got, was it?
See, this is how you cheat, Justin.
This is no. It's not advantageous for me at all to cheat. I'll tell you that right now. I've got North Carolina, Grand Canyon as another surprise team in the Sweet 16, Arizona, and I think I went with Baylor in that last spot.
Okay. All right. Let's go to the South. Sweet 16. I've got Houston versus Wisconsin, and I've got Kentucky, who I've already said I've got going all the way to the national championship game against Marquette. And I think Kentucky-Marquette could be an outstanding game if that one plays out.
I agree. I'm also on Kentucky and Marquette, but I've got Houston taking on James Madison in the South. So there you go. Another surprise pick. Are you sensing a trend here? I like the lower seeds. I mean, it's March Madness, Matt. You got to go crazy, right?
Yeah, I like it. I like your boldness. I'm not that bold. I'm conservative in most of my picks.
I think I'm finding the reason why you're never good at bracket challenges.
The Midwest. I've got Purdue against Gonzaga and South Carolina against Tennessee in an SEC rematch.
All right, I'm going to hit you with something crazy here. I've got TCU, McNeese State, Creighton, and Tennessee.
Okay. You're wild, man.
I got Purdue going out early again. They just – I don't know. I don't believe in Purdue. They lost to a 16 seed last year, for crying out loud.
Yeah, I just feel like Purdue is going to get a little farther, but it stops here in just a minute for me. Back to the Elite Eight in the East, Connecticut and Illinois against North Carolina and Baylor. So, again, not many – surprises there. Those are all very, very high seeds getting out to the Elite Eight from the East and West regions.
I have got – so I went with UConn and Illinois in my bracket there. And then in the bottom, I'm pretty sure I went with was it North Carolina and Arizona, with ultimately Arizona coming out of that.
Okay. The other side of the bracket, Elite Eight, Houston and Kentucky – again, taking the big favorites here, no surprises, and Purdue and Tennessee. And I think Purdue and Tennessee could be like it was when they met in the NCAA tournament last time in Louisville, an outstanding game. Those are my Elite Eight from the other side.
I have got TCU and Creighton, with Creighton coming out of the Midwest. And then in the South, I've got Houston and Kentucky, with Houston beating Kentucky.
Okay. All right. Final four, Connecticut and Baylor. So I've got a one seed from the East and Baylor a three seed coming out of the West. And I've got Connecticut winning that game, getting to the national championship game.
I went with Illinois. Did I go with Illinois to the championship is what I had on my bracket. So there you have it. And then on the West would be Arizona. So I got Illinois and Arizona.
The other side, I have Houston and Kentucky. And Purdue and Tennessee, with Kentucky and Tennessee playing in the Final Four and Kentucky winning that game, and then ultimately Connecticut beating Kentucky in the national championship.
Wow, how about that? I'm rolling with Houston and Tennessee on the other side there. So I think Houston will end up getting it done. I've got Houston, UConn playing in the national championship, where I think UConn just gets it done. Back-to-back, I just think they're too tough to beat.
I'm with you. I will be really, 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 really shocked if Connecticut doesn't win. There are many other things that I said or wrote in my bracket that are just, you know, for fun guesses. I took the favorites in a lot of cases, but I really believe in my national championship game. I think it will be Connecticut and Kentucky. I could be wrong on the Wildcats. There's a possibility of that. I don't think I'm going to be wrong on Connecticut.
Well, being a producer for Kentucky Roll Call, I hope you're right, because I've got a lot of money on Kentucky thanks to those guys brainwashing me in the mornings. Give me one of your upset picks, Matt. I'm just curious.
Golly, let's go back here to the first round. Well, I have Drake. That's a big one for me, a 10 seed beating a 7 seed. I'm being funny here. Let's see. I had Grand Canyon over St. Mary's.
But I like
had Alabama beating Grand Canyon. I had New Mexico over Clemson with Baylor beating New Mexico. So I had a handful, if I go around here, I had a good handful of upsets in those first round games, but I just want to – I get tight when I get to the Sweet 16 and beyond.
Yeah. I mean, that's understandable. But if you think about it, I want to say every tournament but one since 2012 has had at least a 7 seed in the Final Four. So just think about that.
True. There's going to be some crazy stuff happening,
oh, yeah.
I think.
Every year.
We all know that. And just looking at things last night, who won between Wagner and Howard?
It was Wagner 71-68. And if you didn't see that game, man, that was very, very entertaining.
I just couldn't remember who came out on top. I'm 0 for 2, though. I had Howard and Virginia winning last night.
Oh,
so what a great start for Matt Dennison's bracket.
I got a leg up on you. I'm 2-0. So.
All right. Thank you, Justin. Appreciate you coming on. We will score this, so by God, you better send me your picks.
I'll send a picture of my bracket when I get home.
Yeah, because I know how these producers at the Big X are. But thank you, and we'll head to a break. We'll come back with Josh Cook, sports editor of the News and Tribune, and we'll talk local sports, the state finals, Jeff in the semi-state. And you know what? New Albany and Jeff scrimmage in baseball today, believe it or not. It's been moved to Berkfield in New Albany. I think it's like a 4:30 or 5 o'clock first pitch. But the high school baseball season begins next week. It's always so quick to get started, but it should be another great season locally for some of our schools. So we'll begin that transition as well with Josh when he's with us. Stay tuned here to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Back with more after this.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a f*** what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
All right, we're back. Final segment of this Wednesday show. We are unable to connect with Josh Cook, so we'll keep it here for the final minutes of our program today. Excited about more NCAA games tonight. We have, Colorado and Boise State, a battle of 10 seeds looking to get into the full bracket, and then a 16-seed battle between Montana State and Grambling coming up tonight in the final games from Dayton, which, by the way, Dayton, if you've never been to that arena there, it's old, it's smaller, but not too small, and it's really a great basketball place in the state of Ohio. They host a lot of postseason high school games. Obviously, UD plays their games there. I've been there over the years for a number of different basketball events, and it's a really good place, and they support their hoops in Ohio, but specifically Dayton, which is why that they always get the first four. So two more games tonight, and then the full deal begins on Thursday with just madness for the next 4 days and really for the next 3+ weeks. We've got a lot of great basketball coming our way, and we'll see how it all plays out. A couple things I want to mention. Some good news for the Indiana women's team. And again, they're getting ready to open play on Friday, I believe it is, in the NCAA tournament. But Mackenzie Holmes was named a second-team All-American yesterday by the U.S. Basketball Writers Association. So big stuff for them. And now we'll see what the IU women can do in their NCAA tournament opportunity. Obviously a chance to host, which is big for them. And we'll see. And they were very fortunate to get the opportunity to host, given how things played there late in the season. But we will see how things play out as they open up. I said it was Friday. It's actually Saturday. They take on 13-seeded Fairfield in the first round of NCAA games in Bloomington. So a tough path for Indiana and their quadrant, their side of the bracket. But we'll see what the Hoosiers can do as they get started in the women's college basketball tournament here very soon. Other things to mention today. Let's see. Want to also tell you a couple local things. I mentioned New Albany and Jeffersonville, a baseball scrimmage coming up today. Someone also sends along that Silver Creek and Providence will scrimmage today, 5 o'clock at Providence High School. Again, these scrimmages are just that. No score, no real game feel to it, but lots of different pitchers getting out there for an inning or so, and everybody gets to bat, and just a good way to start the year. So we'll see New Albany and Jeff and Silver Creek and Providence get their scrimmages rolling tonight. It's hard to believe that baseball season is here in the area. And once again, some local baseball teams expected to be really good on a state level. That's kind of par for the course here in Southern Indiana. Our basketball and baseball and volleyball are really good here in the state. There is no question about that. But obviously for some of the local teams, I do expect Floyd Central to be one of the better baseball teams here on the local level this season that returns a lot and has an opportunity, I think, to make some real noise when it comes to the local baseball scene this year. So baseball season here, and before you know it, we'll be out at some of the big games as we get into April and beyond, and cover some of the big rival matchups in high school baseball here locally. That's going to wrap things up for this Wednesday edition of the show. A couple things to think about the rest of the week. On Thursday, Alex Bozich of Inside the Hall will join our program. Also, Steve Kerberg on high school basketball with both of those guys. We'll be getting you ready for NCAA tournament games coming up on Thursday and Friday. Going to have a lot of fun with that over the next few weeks. And then Friday, Dylan Wallace is with us. Kyle Nedrip is with us as well. And so we'll get to catch up with both of those guys and talk NCAA tournament and college hoops as well. One of the things I did want to go through with Josh, I want to squeeze this in here before we head out, was we do have some local connections from Clark and Floyd County in the NCAA tournament. Obviously, you've got Trey Coleman of Jeffersonville, who's playing for Coach Alford at Nevada. Nevada has had a really good year. In fact, I've got to find my bracket here, but I actually picked them to win at least a game in the NCAA tournament. They open up with Dayton, and 7 seed Dayton, 10 seed Nevada. I've got Nevada advancing to play Arizona and eventually getting beat by them. Also, of course, Trey Kaufman Wren is at Purdue as well. So those are two of the names locally that get an opportunity to play in the big NCAA tournament. And always neat when you got some local guys getting a chance to get that opportunity to be seen. There is no question about that. But those are the two guys locally that will have an opportunity to see if they can help lead their teams to big stuff. And I think Purdue has an opportunity to do so. Have a great Wednesday. We'll be back with you Thursday at 11 o'clock. Alex Bozich and Steve Kerberg will join the program. Enjoy the final first four games tonight and get all set. Get your bracket ready for the big dance, which begins officially Thursday across the country. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.